So it's 2:30, and I think we'll begin. Good afternoon. I'm Janice Bierman, Senior Vice President for Education and Health Promotion at the March of Dimes. And thank you all for joining us today in our session, Addressing the Problem of Prematurity, Global, National, and Local Initiatives. I wanted to thank our colleague, Ann Umamoto, who's over here in the midsection, for organizing this session. Thank you, Ann. And also acknowledge the Maternal Child Health section of APHA for sponsoring this program. Before we begin any session, we always have housekeeping tips and reminders, so if you've not already done so, please put your cell phone on mute or vibrate. We have a registration list going around, so please sign in, and I'll be collecting that at the end of the session. And we will be having our panel, and after which we'll be entertaining questions. So if you have questions, please hold them unless there's a clarifying question. And we'll do questions at the end of the program. Because I'm up here, I'm taking a few minutes, the liberty of being the moderator, to say a few words about our prematurity campaign, and I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So it's kind of hard to believe, but we've actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary of our prematurity campaign. And we issued this report earlier this year. It's in paper format, and I'll, at the end of my few remarks, tell you where you can get your own copy if you've not already done so. But we have a lot to celebrate, and today's session actually is going to give you some of the highlights of the work that we've done in the past 10 years. Our president, Dr. Jennifer House, who happens to be sitting in the back of the room, thank you for joining us, says in the preface of this report that it's been a decade of partnership and progress. And you're going to hear about those two parts of our campaign, the partnerships and the progress we made in the next hour or so. And I've taken the liberty in very small font here to put just some of the highlights of the past 10 years up on this slide. We've done a lot of work, and in 2006, many of you, thank you for helping us, helped to pass the PREMI Act. That became law in 2006. In 2007, the Institute of Medicine published a report on preterm birth. It was also the beginning of our Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait program, and Judy Gooding is going to talk to us about that in a little while. 2008 was a big year for us because our board made a commitment to address the problem of prematurity through 2020, and it also established our prematurity campaign as a global campaign, and Dr. Housen is going to be giving us more information about that. And 2008 was also the first Surgeons General Conference on preterm birth, so it was a really big year for us. In 2011, we established our first transdisciplinary research center at Stanford University. And in 2012, we celebrated with our partners, particularly ASTO and HHS, and did work on reducing the rates of preterm birth. And you're going to be hearing more about that in a few minutes as well. We, of course, have not done it alone. As I said, it's been done with partnerships, both on the local level with our chapters and their many, many partners, as well on the national level. And this is a list. It's a two-slide list of our partners and alliances. We initiated our campaign with three partners, the American College of OBGYNs, the Association for Women's Health, Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Most recently, we've been working with our public health partners, the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, and the National Association of County and City Health Officials. And then on this slide, you'll see the many organizations who've signed on as an alliance to the campaign, and they've helped us work towards the goals of the campaign. And you'll note in bold the American Public Health Association, who's been with us from the very beginning in 2003. And this is just a continuation of the many alliances and organizations who've worked with us the past 10 years. And we're very grateful, of course. And in this slide, and Dr. Housen's going to be mentioning some of the work we're doing with these organizations, are just some of our global partners. And so, as I said, we've expanded our universe to cover the world, and we've done a lot of good work and look forward to working more closely with all these partners. I don't know if you know about this website that we developed a few years ago, but it's prematurityprevention.org, and it's a website intended for healthcare professionals and other professionals, policymakers, etc. So you can get all materials related to prematurity at this website. So if you've gone to marchofdimes.com and you say, now where is that prematurity report and didn't find it, that's because we moved it to this site. So you have to just register, free registration, log in, and you can get any of the materials that we either will mention today or anything else related to prematurity. So our first speaker today is going to be Dr. Edward McCabe. And Dr. McCabe is a pediatrician and a geneticist. He was one of the first people to identify complex glycerol kinase deficiency, and so he has ultimately become an expert in newborn screening. He was the first to show that DNA could be extracted from newborn screening blotters, which is the basis for blotters used in molecular genetics and forensics. Prior to coming to the March of Dimes, he was at UCLA, and he holds the titles of Distinguished Professor Emeritus and Inaugural Mattel Executive Endowed Chair of Pediatrics Emeritus at UCLA, and Inaugural Physician and Chief Emeritus at the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA. He has a lot of neat toys in his office, but I won't tell you about them right now. He joined our foundation a year ago, and he is now our Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer in the Office of Medicine and Health Promotion. And I'm very pleased to say and privileged to say that he's also my boss. So please join me in welcoming Dr. McCabe.
Thank you, Janice. And thank you all for being here this afternoon. It's great to have you. So I have no conflicts of interest. When we're done with this session, you should be able to describe the key elements of the challenge issued by the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, ASTHO, to reduce preterm births and some of the activities of this program. And you should be able to describe the key elements of the quality improvement toolkit, elimination of non-medically indicated elective deliveries before 39 weeks gestational age, and the resources available to support implementation. So we're going to talk about why prematurity, and then the ASTHO challenge, 39-week quality improvement, and the summary and conclusions. So why prematurity? We know that it affects 1 in 9 babies born in the U.S. For more than 450,000 babies a year, the leading cause of neonatal death. And then there's some other people who you may not remember. I used to teach undergrads at UCLA. They didn't even know who John F. Kennedy was sometimes, bright kids, but that was way before their time. And one item that was a little bit overshadowed by his father's assassination was that Patrick Bouvier Kennedy was born 5 weeks prematurely. So think about that today. In terms of the success with those babies. He died August 9th of 1963, and we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of his father's death. So I knew this, but I think I had been more living through it, more focused on the assassination. But he died of respiratory distress syndrome, which fortunately with surfactant, research for which was supported by the March of Dimes, is much less of a problem than it was then. But it was a personal tragedy for the U.S. President and the First Lady, and focused national attention on the problem of premature birth, and really began thinking about my own career training in the mid-70s as an internum resident. We were some of the earliest pediatricians who were now actually saving these babies, because early on they would just... Often, there was no technology, and the babies would be put in the corner of the nursery and just see how they did. So really did focus attention and made a huge difference that we don't hear much about it today. Another individual who I didn't know until I went to the March of Dimes, affected by retinopathy of prematurity, is Stevie Wonder. And that should be a name more familiar with with the young people in the audience, at least. But a tragedy. We still have this problem with us, but are working hard to decrease ROP. If we look at preterm birth in the U.S., 1970 and 1980, the preterm birth rates were approximately 9% of births. Started to climb 1980 to 1990, from 9% to more than 10%. From 1990 to 2000, the rates continued to increase to nearly 12%, and then peaked in 2006 at 12.8%, declining to 12% by 2010. Our interim goal with ASTA, that you'll hear more about, is an 8% reduction in every state by 2014, and the 2020 goal of the March of Dimes is 9.6% of births being preterm. If we look then at the rise and then the fall since 2006, look at the green. That's where most of it has occurred. This is late preterm births, 34, 35, 36 weeks. Maybe some small increases in the 32, 33 weeks, maybe, and I don't know, I think they're statistically significant in the very preterm birth rise and fall, but the big difference is in late preterm birth, and that's something we feel that we can have an effect on by empowering women to know what a full-term pregnancy is, 39 to 40 weeks, and by education of professionals and the public. If we look at the reduction in preterm births since 2006, if we had stayed at the 2006 level through 2012, 176,000 more babies would have been born preterm. So we're making a difference. This is a huge number. We'll never know who they are, but they weren't born preterm. And just the numbers are very impressive, and it's important that everybody stay focused on these reductions. If you look at the cost of prematurity of the business, for an uncomplicated birth, it's $4,389. For a premature low birth weight birth, it's just over $54,000. 1 in 9 babies are born preterm in the U.S. I mentioned that number. That one baby born preterm costs more than all of the other 8 babies. And this is a number that we can decrease. So we can improve life, quality of life, by preventing long-term complications, by preventing mortality, and we can also save dollars. Over one-third of infant deaths in a study in 2009 from the National Center for Health Statistics were thought to be related to late preterm birth, and infants born late preterm had increased risks of early, that's infant mortality, and long-term consequences. Late preterm birth results in the largest proportion of babies in the NICU and most of the NICU costs. And if we look at infant mortality, our 39-week quality improvement program is focused on early elective deliveries, so 37 and 38 weeks, which would be now, with the new definitions, referred to as early term, a 1.5-fold increased risk if you're born 37 to 38 weeks versus 39 to 40 weeks. That should be 40 weeks for full term, although I think in this paper they defined it as out to 41. Late preterm, 34 to 36 weeks, over 3.5-fold increased risk of infant mortality. So again, fortunately, the risk for the full term is relatively low, but why would a parent, a physician, place the baby at increased risk for a conscious decision? So let's talk about the ASTO challenge. The Association of State and Territorial Health Officials President's challenge by Dr. David Lakey, who's the health official for Texas, when he was president of ASTO, he put out this challenge. It's based on the known prevention strategies. States could conduct their own planning and analysis. It was an 8% decrease by 2014 of preterm birth. Would build awareness of the state's prematurity rates, initiate and accelerate programs and policies to reduce prematurity birth rates. So what is our involvement? Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait awareness campaign. You'll hear more about this from both myself and Judy Gooding. Use of co-branded TV, print, transit PSAs, billboards, all kinds of activities, distribution of educational materials, and then collaboration with states on their program activities. All of the 50 states, health officials, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico have all pledged to reduce by 8% for their jurisdiction by 2014. These are some of the activities. 51 states and territories submitted summaries. If we look at the number three intervention, 45 states, 90 were the number of activities planned and in progress, and 63 of the activities were achieved. So it's by actually developing plans, implementing these plans. These things do not happen by just saying it's a good idea, let's see how it goes by 2014. It's active involvement of the departments of health and the March of Dimes in collaboration. So let's look at 39-week quality improvement then. And this is the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait sub-brand. It includes the State Health Department collaboration, which we've just been talking about, the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait community programs, which Judy Gooding is going to tell us more about, consumer education and awareness, involving 39-plus weeks PSA, educational materials, promotional items, Strong Start, co-branding opportunities with hospitals and other groups, and then the QI service package with grand rounds, the March of Dimes data portal, webinars, educational materials, access to experts, and hospital recognition. And certainly March of Dimes staff is involved, but we also have 3 million volunteers who are heavily involved in this program with us. Here's one of the HBWW posters, also used for transit signs and others, but don't rush your baby's birthday, and then the mom with the healthy babies are worth the wait t-shirt. Your baby needs time, why the last weeks of pregnancy count. So this is a message that we work to get out, and then a provider card as well as a consumer flyer. And the provider card was designed so it fits into the pocket of a white coat, so that it's there when the healthcare provider needs to pass this on. But it points out the development of the 35 gestational week brain, and then the brain at 39 to 40 weeks, and now we have functional evidence that there are functional deficits if you do not develop in utero to neuronal complexity. This is the toolkit to eliminate not medically indicated deliveries before 39 weeks. It was developed by the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative, in collaboration with the March of Dimes and others, and it's available at marchofdimes.com or cmqcc.org. Some key components for this program is to identify a physician champion. You need someone, an OB, who will be the champion for the program. You need to create or rewrite hospital policy around the 39 weeks. You need to establish professional consensus on what are the indications for early delivery, and ACOG has given us some guidance in that. Other key components, developing a scheduling form and process, and really the schedulers are key here, and it's important that they be empowered, that they can say, Dr. Smith, I see you're scheduling this woman at 37 weeks. What are the medical indications? And having been, as Jana said, the physician in chief of a children's hospital, this is a major cultural change. We wanted to flatten our hierarchy, to have the newest nurse graduate be able to challenge a physician if she or he saw something that wasn't quite right. And even among pediatricians, which tend to have a bit of a flatter hierarchy than other specialties, it was a cultural change for us. Establish a medical leadership hard stop process, meaning, again, you'll not do a delivery before 39 weeks without a medical indication. Secure buy-in from the staff, the medical staff, as well as the other staff. Collect data to drive the change, and this is data by physician, which are reviewed in what are now called quality assurance conferences. It used to be called M&M, mortality and morbidity conferences, but really you need to be willing to call out your peers and yourself in these settings, and then review progress regularly. This is where this paper by Brian Oshiro and many others, including a number of March of Dimes staff, and Dr. Scott Burns is a senior author on this paper. This was looking at 25 hospitals in the five states with the highest numbers of births, and by putting in practice the things that I've just talked about, and obviously a lot more than what I could cover in two slides, they saw an 83% reduction in early-term elective deliveries in a 12-month period. Again, as someone who has been in a hospital, been responsible for a hospital, to change a practice by 83% in a one-year period is just amazing. But it says it can be done. You just have to have the will within the professional staff to do this. This is our March of Dimes 2013 premature birth report card. It was released on Friday of last week, November 1st. It shows that we are at 11.5% for the 2012 preliminary data, with a goal of 9.6% by 2020. You'll see it still rates the United States a C. And we'd have to get to 11.2% or below to do this. We've had consistent decreases since 2006, but there's still plenty of room for improvement. Some of our contributing factors that we look to are uninsured women. As I was telling when I was interviewed on Friday, insurance protects against preterm birth. And so we look at what is the percent of women of childbearing age who are insured. Late preterm births, because as I've told you, we think we can influence that, and women who smoke, because this increases the risk for preterm birth. And then something we added this year is also looking at health equity or inequity, and looking at racial and ethnic groups and their preterm birth rates. We try to be culturally sensitive, and this is the coming of the blessing. And some of the folks in the March of Dimes, one of the things I did earliest on when I got there was it just didn't have the March of Dimes look. But it was developed by a different culture. So it needs to be sensitive to their look and their feel and not to how we want the March of Dimes materials to be branded. So this is the way it was finally delivered. Share a hug. This is something you can do this month for Prematurity Awareness Month. Go on social media, Facebook, Prematurity Awareness, and share a hug with your friends, colleagues, and family members. So in summary, I've shown you examples of programs, the ASSO Challenge to reduce preterm birth in each state and territory by 8% in 2014, and then quality improvement initiatives such as HBWW and the QI Toolkit, and you'll be hearing more about HBWW. We want to reduce neonatal morbidity and mortality. We can do this without harming the mother or the baby. If there's not a medical indication, there's no reason to deliver early, electively. There's substantial cost savings. And this has become a national quality measure for the National Quality Forum, the LeapFrog Group, and the Joint Commission. There are very significant problems associated with late preterm birth, and despite relatively low risks compared with very early preterm infants, the large numbers of late preterm births magnify the consequences of these problems to very important levels that we have to recognize for individuals, individual babies, their families, and for the public health. So, thank you for your attention.